Hello and welcome back to the Lifespring Family Bible. I'm Steve Webb, your host, and this is episode number 324. Today we'll be in both the New Testament and the Old Testament. We'll start in the New Testament book of Titus, where we'll read the entire book, and then we'll go to the Old Testament and read the first two chapters of Joel. So are you ready? Let's begin. Titus, chapter 1. From Paul, a slave of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's chosen ones and the knowledge of the truth that is in keeping with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the ages began. But now in his own time he has made his message evident through the preaching I was entrusted with, according to the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my genuine son in a common faith. Grace and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was to set in order the remaining matters and to appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of one wife, with faithful children who cannot be charged with dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be blameless as one entrusted with God's work, not arrogant, not prone to anger, not a drunkard, not violent, not greedy for gain. Instead, he must be hospitable, devoted to what is good, sensible, upright, devout, and self-controlled. He must hold firmly to the faithful message as it has been taught, so that he will be able to give exhortation in such healthy teaching and correct those who speak against it. For there are many rebellious people, idle talkers and deceivers, especially those with Jewish connections, who must be silenced because they mislead whole families by teaching for dishonest gain what ought not to be taught. A certain one of them, in fact, one of their own prophets, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." Such testimony is true. For this reason, rebuke them sharply, that they may be healthy in the faith and not pay attention to Jewish myths and commands of people who reject the truth. All is pure to those who are pure, but to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They profess to know God, but with their deeds they deny him, since they are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for any good deed. Titus chapter 2. But as for you, communicate the behavior that goes with sound teaching. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Older women likewise are to exhibit behavior fitting those who are holy, not slandering, not slaves to excessive drinking, but teaching what is good. In this way they will train the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, fulfilling their duties at home, kind, being subject to their own husband, so that the message of God may not be discredited. Encourage younger men likewise to be self-controlled, showing yourself to be an example of good works in every way. In your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and a sound message that cannot be criticized, so that any opponent will be at a loss, because he has nothing evil to say about us. Slaves are to be subject to their own masters in everything, to do what is wanted and not talk back, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, in order to bring credit to the teaching of God our Savior in everything. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. It trains us to reject godly ways and worldly desires and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age as we wait for the happy fulfillment of our hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to set us free from every kind of lawlessness and to purify for himself a people who are truly his, who are eager to do good. So communicate these things with the sort of exhortation or rebuke that carries full authority. Don't let anyone look down on you. Titus chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. They must not slander anyone, but be peaceable, gentle, showing complete courtesy to all people. For we too were once foolish, disobedient, misled, enslaved to various passions and desires, spending our lives in evil and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not by works of righteousness that we have done, but on the basis of his mercy through the washing of the new birth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us in full measure through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so, since we have been justified by his grace, we become heirs with the confident expectation of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on such truths so that those who have placed their faith in God may be intent on engaging in good works. These things are good and beneficial for all people, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, quarrels, and fights about the law, because they are useless and empty. Reject a divisive person after one or two warnings. You know that such a person is twisted by sin and is conscious of it himself. When I send Artemas or Tychius to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Make every effort to help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. Make sure they have what they need. Here is another way that our people can learn to engage in good works to meet pressing needs and so not be unfruitful. Everyone with me greets you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Joel chapter 1. This is the Lord's message that was given to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Listen to us, you elders. Pay attention, all inhabitants of the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your whole life or in the lifetime of your ancestors? Tell your children about it. Have your children tell their children and their children the following generation. What the Gazam locust left, the Arba locust consumed. What the Arba locust left, the Yelek locust consumed. And what the Yelek locust left, the Hazil locust consumed. Wake up, you drunkards, and weep. Wail, all you wine drinkers, because the sweet wine has been taken away from you. For a nation has invaded our land. There are so many of them, they are too numerous to count. Their teeth are like those of a lion. They tear apart their prey like a lioness. They have destroyed our vines. They have turned our fig trees into mere splinters. They have completely stripped off the bark and thrown them aside. The twigs are stripped bare. Wail like a young virgin clothed in sackcloth, lamenting the death of her husband-to-be. No one brings grain offerings or drink offerings to the temple of the Lord anymore. So the priests, those who serve the Lord, are in mourning. The crops of the fields have been destroyed. The ground is in mourning because the grain has perished. The fresh wine is dried up. The olive oil languishes. Be distressed, farmers. Wail, vine dressers, over the wheat and the barley. For the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up. The fig tree languishes, the pomegranate, date, and apple as well. In fact, all the trees of the field have dried up. Indeed, the joy of the people has dried up. Get dressed and lament, you priests. Wail, you who minister at the altar. Come, spend the night in sackcloth, you servants of my God, because no one brings grain offerings or drink offerings to the temple of your God anymore. Announce a holy fast. Proclaim a sacred assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the temple of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. How awful that day will be, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come as destruction from the divine destroyer. Our food has been cut off right before our eyes. There is no longer any joy or gladness in the temple of our God. The grains of seed have shriveled beneath their shovels. Storehouses have been decimated, and granaries have been torn down, for the grain has dried up. Listen to the cattle groan. The herds of livestock wander around in confusion because they have no pasture. Even the flocks of sheep are suffering. To you, O Lord, I call out for help, for fire has burned up the grassy pastures. Flames have raised all the trees in the fields. Even the wild animals cry out to you, for the riverbeds have dried up. Fire has destroyed the grassy pastures. Joel chapter 2. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm signal on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land shake with fear, for the day of the Lord is about to come. Indeed, it is near. It will be a day of dreadful darkness, a day of foreboding storm clouds, like blackness spread over the mountains. It is a huge and powerful army. There has never been anything like it ever before, and there will not be anything like it for many generations to come. Like fire, they devour everything in their path. A flame blazes behind them. The land looks like the Garden of Eden before them, but behind them there is only a desolate wilderness, for nothing escapes them. They look like horses. They charge ahead like war horses. They sound like chariots rumbling over mountaintops, like the crackling of blazing fire consuming stubble, like the noise of a mighty army being drawn up for battle. People writhe in fear when they see them. All of their faces turn pale with fright. They charge like warriors. They scale walls like soldiers. Each one proceeds on his course. They do not alter their path. They do not jostle one another. Each of them marches straight ahead. They burst through the city defenses and do not break ranks. They rush into the city. They scale its walls. They climb into the houses. They go in through the windows like a thief. The earth quakes before them. The sky reverberates. The sun and the moon grow dark. The stars refuse to shine. The voice of the Lord thunders as he leads his army. Indeed, his warriors are innumerable. Surely his command is carried out. Yes, the day of the Lord is awesome and very terrifying. Who can survive it? Yet even now, the Lord says, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning. Tear your hearts, not just your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, slow to anger, and boundless in loyal love, often relenting from calamitous punishment. Who knows, perhaps he will be compassionate and grant a reprieve and leave blessing in his wake, a meal offering and a drink offering for you to offer to the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, announce a holy fast, proclaim a sacred assembly. Gather the people, sanctify an assembly. Gather the elders, gather the children and the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom come out from his bedroom and the bride from her private quarters. Let the priests, those who serve the Lord, weep from the vestibule all the way back to the altar. Let them say, have pity, O Lord, on your people. Please do not turn over your inheritance to be mocked, to become a proverb among the nations. Why should it be said among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became zealous for his land. He had compassion on his people. The Lord responded to his people, look, I am about to restore your grain as well as fresh wine and olive oil. You will be fully satisfied. I will never again make you an object of mockery among the nations. I will remove the one from the north far from you. I will drive him out to a dry and desolate place. Those in front will be driven eastward into the Dead Sea, and those in back westward into the Mediterranean Sea. His stench will rise up as a foul smell. Indeed, the Lord has accomplished great things. Do not fear, my land. Rejoice and be glad, because the Lord has accomplished great things. Do not fear, wild animals, for the pastures of the wilderness are again green with grass. Indeed, the trees bear their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield to their fullest. Citizens of Zion, rejoice. Be glad because of what the Lord your God has done. For he has given to you the early rains as vindication. He has sent to you the rains, both the early and the late rains as formerly. The threshing floors are full of grain. The vats overflow with fresh wine and olive oil. I will make up for the years that the Arba locust consumed your crops, the Yelek locust, the Hazel locust, and the Gazam locust, my great army that I sent against you. You will have plenty to eat, and your hunger will be fully satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God, who has acted wondrously in your behalf. My people will never again be put to shame. You will be convinced that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God. There is no other. My people will never again be put to shame. After all of this, I will pour out my spirit on all kinds of people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your elderly will have revelatory dreams. Your young men will see prophetic visions. Even on male and female servants, I will pour out my servant in those days. I will produce portents both in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sunlight will be turned to darkness and the moon to the color of blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and terrible day. It will so happen that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be those who survive, just as the Lord has promised. The remnant will be those whom the Lord will call. In today's reading, of course, Joel had a vision of what the end times would look like. We've been reading about that quite a lot recently, haven't we? And in Titus, the Apostle Paul gave some good advice as to what kind of people church leaders should be. Tomorrow, we'll finish up the book of Joel and begin the book of Amos. I look forward to seeing you then. May God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb.